Mr. Obama's Cairo address held out the hope of closing the gap between Muslims and America on many fronts, religious, social, governmental, and economic.
So long as our relationship is defined by our differences, we will empower those who sow hatred rather than peace, those who promote conflict rather than the cooperation that can help all of our people achieve justice and prosperity.
In hindsight, some think his sweeping and generalized promise of progress may have been the speech's fundamental flaw. Hala Mustafa, editor of the Egyptian magazine Democracy, was in the audience at Cairo University last June.
I feel like everybody who attended listened and heard what he or she wants to hear. So if you are working for promoting democracy, I think you have heard that. If you are with the government side, so you heard what you could make you satisfied. For the peace process, I think the Palestinians and the Israelis heard what they each wants to hear. But anyway, at the end, I think after 1 year, the achievement is very little, almost nothing.
American University in Cairo professor Saeed Sadek agrees, adding that part of the problem may have been expectations.
Because we have a long history of autocracy and chronic problems that nobody can solve, there has always been this hope and aspiration to see a hero, a superhero who would come and solve the problems, someone who would deliver democracy on a silver platter. But when he came and gave this speech at Cairo University, remember at the time people were shouting, "We love you, Obama, we love you, Obama." Today there is general apathy, disappointment.
On the streets of majority Muslim lands, not everyone is despairing of the possibilities. Novi Andriani spoke to VOA outside the Sunda Kelapa Mosque in Jakarta.
I don't think that America can change that quick just by listening into Obama's speech. I do believe that they are going to change slowly, but not significantly changing.
In Cairo, outside the university where Mr. Obama was greeted with thunderous applause, student Ahmed Gamal Khatar gives a one-year progress report that is decidedly mixed.
Most of the things he spoke about, some of them he's done, others he hasn't. He spoke about the war in Iraq and the troops pull out, and that Iraq will be freed. We haven't seen this yet. About Afghanistan, he said the situation will improve, but it's worsening.
American University in Cairo professor Sadek ascribes some of the disappointment to Mr. Obama's mastery of rhetoric.
He would say one thing, and then he adds the famous magical word, but. And then we are in the old dilemma. He wants to withdraw from Iraq, but he has to keep a high military presence. He wants to have democracy in the area, but he at the same time has to continue the same good relationship between the White House and the Arab old dictators. This goes on and on. He wants to help the Palestinian people to have a state, but Israel interest comes first.
Israel looms large in U.S.-Muslim relations. In Cairo, Mr. Obama pledged to oppose Israeli settlement construction on Palestinian lands. The building has continued to many's despair. But in Indonesia, some, including Jakarta resident Rory, still sees progress.
Dengan di jalur Gaza, dengan dukungan Amerika terhadap
with the support to the Gaza Strip and the renegotiation between the PLO and Israel, I see that something has changed, so there is an effect from the speech.
But there are also long-standing suspicions and prejudices that surface with alarming ease. A university student in Islamabad, Pakistan, is quick to assign blame for a perceived sin against Islam on the website Facebook. To him, the guilty party is a frequent, and frequently erroneous, target of Muslim wrath.
On one side, he says that we will have good relations with Muslim world. But on the other side, other people like Jews, they create such problems as you have seen on Facebook. Okay? So these things are creating conflicts. Okay, na? He is not doing good acts. These things should be brought to light.
The suspicions of a fellow university student in Islamabad also take a dark turn when considering U.S. and Mr. Obama's intentions toward the Muslim world.
He has continued the Bush policy of, creating terrorism and, they are not having good relation with all the Muslims and they are trying to kill us and they are trying to, pressurize Muslims. And they are trying to have a good relation with all other peoples of the world except the Muslims.
In Indonesia, where the future president lived as a child, some argue any failure to improve relations is not Mr. Obama's fault. Haji Johnny Subhan spoke to VOA in Jakarta.
America jangan terlalu ekstrim terhadap dunia Islam.
Obama wants America not to be extreme to the Muslim world, but apparently the powers behind him are not yet able to change.
Back in Islamabad, another university student, Saif Shah, takes the discussion far beyond the political powers that be.
And don't believe on political speeches of any other else. I just believe on the reality what is going on. And that is hatred. Hatred is a big a disease. I think it is a disease between all humans. And even Obama or any other leader, I want that they convey the message to the people, just leave the topic of hatred and know the value of humans. What is the value of humans in every religion? I want to say that when we agree to our religions, so it's not Pakistani, not Indians, not Afghanis, not no Americans. We are all human beings.
The sentiment echoes what Mr. Obama said in Cairo 1 year ago.
America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles. Principles of justice and progress, tolerance, and the dignity of all human beings. I do so recognizing that change cannot happen overnight. I know there's been a lot of publicity about this speech, but no single speech can eradicate years of mistrust.
Anticipating his critics, even the president asked for patience. Elizabeth Arrett, VOA News, Cairo.